Damas y caballeros, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Big Mo, and I am pleased to welcome you to your podcast main event. Introducing first, your host, he hails from Mexico City, Mexico, presenting Chair Monster, Jose Manuel. I am ready. Our host is ready. Are the listeners ready? No, I said podcast listeners tuning in across the world. Are you ready for Che Monster Talks?
This guest is the most gringo there is. Weighing in at 175 pounds.
Close.
175?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about there.
136, something like that.
Oh, I don't know exactly.
Well,
that's crazy cool. Okay.
I'm a fighter, bro. Oh, yeah, they weighed us some pounds, okay?
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay, Zach, how's everything?
Everything's going good. So we're just walking and talking through the city, you know, heading to a. We're just heading, you know, right to this like concert apparently. It's right between Rudolfplatz and Friesenplatz. It's a pretty cool place. I don't know. That's what they've been telling me.
And apparently he thinks he can talk. He can follow my rhythm while having a random conversation about random topics. So which topic do you want to start with?
I don't know. I love talking about stories and cool places we've all been. You know, some of those random stories where you're like here, I'll play a game with you. A game, all right? Do you know two truths and a lie?
Of course.
Okay. So I'm going to say two truths. Okay. And one lie, and you have to tell me which one's wrong, okay?
Okay.
So the first one, I scammed the Roman Colosseum in Italy out of over 600 euros.
Okay.
You know, it was crazy cool. I took shots with the King of Qatar's niece.
Okay.
Fucking awesome. And the third one is, while I was in Vienna, I blacked out on an island, and I woke up in the middle of an opera. Not on the island, but actually in the world famous opera house where Mozart played.
Okay, I'm gonna say the lie is the first one.
It was the first one? No, it's the second one. Yeah, I took Jaeger bombs in Brussels. I had Jaeger bombs with the King of Qatar's nephew, not niece.
Okay, quite close. Okay.
Yeah, it was nice. But I can talk for so long about any topic. So what kind of stuff do you usually talk about?
We usually talk about sports, nutrition, fitness, health, and food.
I could definitely go for food. That's one of my favorite things.
Okay.
Now, what kind of stuff do you like to talk about with food?
Best cheat meals, best... in my personal app, I have this personal debate that I have always wanted to have in the podcast. Okay. But which is the best comfort food there is?
Oh.
Personally, I'll go with the burger. Because you can do it as simple or fancy as you want.
Okay.
Anybody can do it anywhere in the fucking planet.
Okay.
You can get it. You can do it yourself at home.
Naturally.
And you can get it in a fancy restaurant or really cheap restaurants.
Okay. I can debate.
Like
this.
The second closest one that I would have there would be pizza.
Okay.
But the only problem that I find with it is that it takes too much time to make pizza compared to a burger.
As comfort food, do you mean just like something you make whenever you want to feel comfortable, or is it just like a safety food in restaurants?
Safety food in restaurants, like the shit that even picky eaters would eat, you know?
Okay.
But also like the fact that you can do it yourself, it's cheap, reliable, like they're all reliable, you know?
Oh yeah. So actually, weirdly enough, I kind of agree with you. Because if you're looking at like comfort foods, like safety foods in restaurants, 100%. Burgers are definitely the way to go. You can have like a $40 burger with like the most high quality meats and bread and everything. Or you could have like a $2 burger that you buy in like, you know, a supermarket or something. Like it can range. Or like at McDonald's. You know, the variance in burgers is so amazing. I think that's just the same for sandwiches overall, but specifically burgers. But if you want to talk about specifically comfort foods, You know, it's something that I make whenever I'm home, and I, you know, don't want to... The whole point is that you're comfortable while you're doing it and while you're eating it, right?
Yeah.
So I would say that mac and cheese is the best comfort food, all right? It's amazing. It's literally two ingredients, macaroni and cheese. Super simple, so that means that you can make it no matter, you know, almost wherever you are, as long as you have the ingredients and hot water.
You'll okay.
be perfectly fine. And then also, you can incorporate more things into the mac and cheese. So you can make a cheeseburger mac and cheese. You could add on to the mac and cheese, just like a sandwich. It's like it's a melting pot for all the different ingredients that you want to use. So I would definitely argue mac and cheese would be the best comfort food whenever it comes to, you know, being homely. You know, something I would imagine myself next to a fire watching a movie with hot chocolate. You know, that kind of comfort mood.
Okay, this is my main argument against that. Also, it goes as an extra bonus point to burgers. You don't need utensils to eat burgers.
Oh.
And let's be honest, we all really enjoy being in touch with that primitive side of ours.
Okay, that's a good point.
Just going ham with your bare hands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That also gives it an extra point. Also, I know there's not much science behind mac and cheese, but the difference between doing some microwave craft mac and cheese and making the real one is a landslide.
Oh, yeah,
but the burger, but the burger, it's the same language. It's still in the same playing field.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, but yeah, burgers being more hands-on, that can be a good or a bad thing, depending on what your motive is in the moment. If you want to go for more of a primal, you know, forceful way of eating to where you're more in touch with your food, yeah, sure, go ahead. Use your hands on a burger. But imagine afterwards, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, you had a tower of meat
uh-huh.
and different and beautiful ingredients, and it was large, it was messy. And then finally, you look down, your hands are covered in ketchup, they're covered in pickle juice, tomato juice, and they're just, like, it's wet from the bread, and it's just not very, it feels bad. So you have to get up, you gotta go wash your hands, you have to, you know, do anything to get it off you. But with mac and cheese, you already have that just nice little utensil. So you're able to keep the mess separate from you, but you can still enjoy the flavor. It's part of the comfort.
Okay, but licking your fingers after eating something is always, it always makes the experience eating better.
I can help with that too. I can. All right. Yeah.
Also, you can feel the texture of the burger because let's be honest, mac and cheese has only one fucking texture. But with a burger, it depends what you put on it. You can make it crunchy by adding a lot of lettuce, pickles.
Okay,
you know?
I can count with that.
And so, I think that also makes it more beautiful. Also, the fact that you can add, as you said, ketchup, mustard, mayo, all this kind of stuff, it makes the burger even more beautiful. Because the burger can be as simple or as complicated as you wish. Mac and cheese, like, you can add a couple of things, but after that, you're getting too gourmet and it stops being comfort food.
Anything about what you just said can be applied to mac and cheese. The same thing.
Nah,
yes.
Nah.
Anything like okay,
bro,
so
bro.
Much,
it,
hang on,
if
hang
you
on,
put if you put respond. If you put ketchup in your mac and cheese, you're proud of an offspring. Okay, you're inbreeding offspring.
I'm gonna go point by point for what you just said. So
okay,
we can keep it clean. So the first one, lick your fingers. All right, you're telling me that the burger is better because you don't need to use utensils to eat it, which you can. And it's better because after that you get to lick your fingers and it tastes so good. Well, if we're talking about licking our fingers, then you could still do that with mac and cheese. Oh, absolutely. Oh, no difference. You would still need to lick your fingers if you use mac and cheese the exact same way. And also, the mix of ingredients that you mentioned. So you said that if you start putting in like the texture and the flavor and everything depends on the ingredients that you put in, like you said with the burger, right?
Yes.
The same thing can be said about mac and cheese. It still has the limits of a burger because what happens when you stack a burger too high?
You need to smash it.
Oh yeah, naturally you need to smash it. But whenever it stacks too high, there's gonna be a point where you have to really open your mouth wide and it's so uncomfortable. Well, the same thing can be said about mac and cheese. Like how you said, where if you stuff enough things in there, it's gonna evolve from mac and cheese is just going to be another ingredient. to the other ones when it's supposed to be the main point. So the same thing that you're saying about mac and cheese can be applied to burgers. And the diversity of the mac and cheese, it might be limited by the different... Actually, no, I don't agree with that. You can absolutely put mustard in mac and cheese if you want to.
No.
It cannot be limited. Any flavors that you want to put in your mac and cheese, you can put in there.
Bro, I'm telling you, if you put ketchup or mayo, special mayo...
Oh, ketchup and mac and cheese tastes so good.
Oh, no, you're probably for finger breeding, bro. Let me tell you that.
I don't know, man.
Zach, what if I went back to your place to use your bathroom?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because we're, like, right there.
Okay, yeah, there's also restaurants and places around here.
I just don't know, like, where we're going, because it seems like we don't really have that direction.
Okay, and if, we're recording a podcast as we speak.
Sorry?
We're recording a podcast.
Oh, a podcast, yeah.
Oh, okay. Am I a guest on this?
Now you are.
I guess so.
Come join?
Hello,
hi.
Okay, we're talking about which is the best comfort food there is.
Comfort? It's doner.
No, he's defending mac and cheese. I'm defending burgers. You're defending doner. What are you
talking about? The best what food?
Comfort food.
I do like mac and cheese.
See?
No.
But
I haven't heard of bad. I don't know.
I think the problem is, like, to make good mac and cheese, you have to make, like, you have to do a lot for it. Like, doner is very simple. Like, even
no, but the problem with doner is that you don't make it. You can only buy it. Exactly.
You can buy it from the store pre-spiced.
You can buy mac and cheese from the store pre-made.
It's so fucking good.
Sometimes, though, I've had, like, doner that you can buy from the store, and, like, you can make it in the air fryer and stuff, and it just doesn't... It doesn't... No,
it's like... No, it's not the same. It's like jerking off with your left hand.
You know it's a stranger.
You know it's a stranger.
I know what you mean.
Like, you're close enough.
I can't...
You know?
I also know what you mean.
You know it does the same, but it doesn't do it correctly.
Yeah, I get
that.
But you can buy such cheap doner everywhere around here. Like, I know it's, like, only in Germany.
Is it really going to be that high quality?
No, it's so good.
Well,
always,
when you go back home, though, do we have doner?
No, there's no doner.
Exactly.
Your
comfort food is gone.
There's shawarma. There's some good shawarma places.
No, but shawarma in, at least in Mexico, I don't know, in the U.S., but shawarma in Mexico compared to the one I can get here is absolute dog shit.
Yeah, I know. You guys have Tacos El Pastor, which are fucking amazing.
Yeah, but I'm defending the burger, not just because how worldwide accessible it is.
Okay.
Because I can get a pretty decent burger anywhere in the fucking planet.
That's partly just because of, like, American, like, imperialism and, like,
I
global...
I just feel like a influence. Burger, though, is not comfort food. Like, it's not... It doesn't give you that. It's great when you go out for one, but it just doesn't give you that, like... You know, sense of home. It's not.
I also thought of comfort as, like, jumbo. Like, if you have or, like, gumbo. Not jumbo. Gumbo.
Gumbo.
Like really good gumbo. Like, New Orleans gumbo. Fucking, yeah, it's amazing.
Made by rednecks.
Exactly, yeah, with moonshine.
Exactly. If their parents ain't cousins, I'm not buying that.
You can find that in California. There, you go down to the races, go down to NASCAR. You can find some guy that's, like, inbred four times, whatever. He makes the best moonshine in the state.
Yeah. Moonshine was actually made in North Carolina, like, most popular during Prohibition.
Yeah?
It's so good.
Nah.
You're right by your farmers. You just, like, go get
it. I am right by my farmers. That's crazy.
Te cargo un monster, te lo pago. Es que ando grabando un podcast.
Do you want alcohol? I can get something.
Tengo que ver si hay barriles de cerveza.
Okay.
Acompáñame.
That's
ando grabando podcast.
Uy, ustedes dónde chingados están?
Okay.
All right. Okay, so I don't know. Where were we with the mac and cheese?
It doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, no.
Okay, so you're not... Okay.
I think they're going in to get something to drink.
Okay, it's getting personal now. Ando grabando podcast.
All right, so what's another topic you like to talk about?
We could continue with this shit. I'm gonna convince you burgers are the shit.
Nah, man. See, I love burgers. Don't get me wrong. I have had a burger in almost every restaurant I've gone to. I love burgers. But if we're talking comfort foods, something that you want to make whenever you want to be comfortable, you don't want to have to do too much work, because you have to make each ingredient with burgers. You have to cut the tomato, you have to cut the pickles, you have to do everything for it. You have to form the beef, you have to fry the beef. With mac and cheese, you boil water, stick noodles in, and put cheese on it. It's simple, it's comfortable, and it's easy. That's the whole part. And you can flavor it however you want. It has the base of cheese, which, come on, cheese is, like, loved by all.
If we want to take that into consideration, then the ultimate comfort food is peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
Oh, man, I love PB&Js. But if I want to be comfortable, I'd want something warm.
You can put some banana, and it makes it feel warm.
I'm not going to put fucking banana in my PB&Js.
You should try it.
Oh, you need to get peanut butter and butter. No. Peanut butter and banana sandwich.
I tried it. That's shit.
I tried that before. That's pretty good. I guess jelly wouldn't make it that much difference.
Exactly.
That sounds amazing.
But it makes it like, even just the idea makes it feel warm to the soul.
Warm to the soul.
Let's be honest.
That's a good word. I'm going to write that down.
Warm to the soul.
I like it.
Like, it's a hug from the inside out.
Was it warm to the soul?
Exactly.
Beautiful. Oh, every time I hear stuff like that, I like to write it down because I make my own music and stuff.
I write random shit all the time.
I love that. Oh, he's snoring. Wow, he's snoring loud.
At 9 p.m.
Jeez. I mean, the sun's not down yet either.
Okay, we have recorded almost 15 minutes of podcast.
How long do you usually record for?
2.5 hours.
Jeez.
My longest conversation was 4.5 hours.
Wow. Man, so what are the kind of stuff you guys like to talk about on podcasts? I've never been on one before.
I've talked about fights. I'm telling you, I can talk about everything. Was also a podcast virgin, just like you.
Shit, did you like, you know, one thing that I'm like absolutely obsessed with?
Okay.
Philosophy.
Philosophy, fuck. No, you're getting deep waters, bro.
You just said.
I'm telling you, like, I love philosophy, bro.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, all right, yeah. What kind of stuff do you like to read or hear about?
Personally, I think the best philosopher for our time until right now might be Marcus Aurelius, but he's not my favorite one. My favorite one historically has to be Diogenes.
Diogenes the Cynic. Yeah, he's crazy. It's a shame that he never wrote down anything that he made. That's kind of
no. But if he did write anything out, it would go against his own nature. You know
exactly. No, that goes against the entire point of cynicism. Is not depending on anything. Like, I like that. Actually, that's a really good. Diogenes is one of my favorites. I gotta say, my absolute like the top one that I would absolutely go for would be Socrates.
Socrates.
I mean, okay. Socrates is like the person who. It's a quote, I can't remember who said it, but basically they said that Socrates brought philosophy out of the hands of like the emperor, the kings, and down into the hands of the people and the peasants. And so Socrates is fantastic. I mean, he's the first person who went from normal philosophers like Democles, something like the guy, the one who made the first atom.
Yeah.
Who discovered the
atom.
So basically, you know, they wanted to know what the world is made of. So they have like, okay, it's made of atoms, it's made of water, it's made of earth, water, air, and fire. So it changes per one. But Socrates, what he said for philosophy, he heard all these people asking about the nature of life and what the world is made of based off of just normal deduction. What he said was like, no. What I want is actually, I want to know not what everything is, but how to have a good life. That's all I care about is how do I have a good life? And so he goes around, and you've heard of, like, you know, the Socratic method, right?
Yeah, of course.
He just pretends he's dumb, and he has them establish a given statement, like what is piety, for example. It's like one of the most popular ones. You have a given statement, and then he barely says anything. All he does is just ask them.
You just need one letter to answer to do what he does. Why?
Wow, letter. Yeah. Why? That's the entire thing. He just wanted to know like why it all went together. It's beautiful. I love that guy. I mean, from him, both of your favorites, by the way, come from him.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, I think Marcus Aurelius might be the best, but I don't consider him one of my favorites because personally, I cannot incorporate anything about what he taught us.
Oh, I mean,
like, I'm too emotional, but...
He's a stereotypical cynic. The only thing we know about him are his daily... the journal. That's the only thing we really know that's, like, his most popular writing was the journal that he had every single day to, like... be thankful for everything in life, because that was the whole point of Stoicism.
Yeah.
What he had, just to be thankful for everything in life and know that everything that you have is given to you.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can't take it for granted. It's all just a gift. So when you lose something, like he lost his entire family. Lost son. Like he lost everybody.
He lost 11 out of 12 sons.
So many people, right? And so he says, no. I didn't lose them. I gave them back. They were given to me, but I gave them back.
Like, there's some things that I try to incorporate about his philosophy in my life.
I love it. You should.
Like, did you know how bad the fucking cost accounting exam was?
Oh my god, yeah.
I went to training and I was like, okay, I don't have bad days. I just have regular days with bad moments.
Yeah.
because I could have just had exam and just let the world kick the shit in and inside of me, or I could just like be like, okay, that was that, I can continue with my day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole point of his was just basically saying that you can't let things out of your control affect you in any way. Because once they affect you, then there's no point.
You're already lost.
Exactly. You will be affected by anything. The Stoicism, nowadays, whenever you say someone's Stoic, it means they're unaffected by stuff. But that's not true. Stoics, they felt, they loved, they didn't just shut off their emotions. No, they let things outside of their control be outside of their control. They said, I can't let this affect me. Like, the way that one guy explained it to me was that, like, imagine you're watching, like, a football game, right?
Uh-huh.
Like soccer, like football. So yeah. Imagine you're watching a football game, right? And your team is doing so bad. The ref is making terrible calls. I mean, naturally, you'd be really mad. You'd start jumping and yelling, say, "Hey, come on! What the fuck? You're sitting at home. You're just."
But they cannot hear you.
Exactly. There's no point to you doing that. So that's exactly what Marcus Aurelius saw was. He saw that people are getting upset by those kind of things, but there's really no point. That's the whole point of Stoicism. It was started by Zeno whenever he talked to...
Seneca.
Seneca,
then Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah, and also Epictetus. Have you read his... The Enchiridion?
I love it.
My God, dude. That... Ancient Western philosophy is my favorite thing, dude.
I prefer Eastern philosophy.
Really?
Because, I think... Western philosophy is too absolute. Like, they see the idea of everything or nothing, and they see the idea of the nothing as something to be scared of. While Eastern philosophy looks at the idea of nothing as peace, you know?
Because I disagree.
I think that Western philosophy and ideology sometimes it looks at death like something dark and something to be scared of. Mm-hmm. And Eastern philosophy is like, yeah, it happens. So
that's exactly what Socrates taught and Marcus Aurelius taught. That's true. That the darkness, like, for example, Socrates in his, Crito? Whenever it was, he was in the jail cell, right?
Uh-huh.
And his friend was trying to like convince him to get out, but he basically logicked himself in there. He said, also in his apologia, even better, his apology, he said, there's two things that are happening after death, you know, that darkness that you're talking about. He said, there's two things happening after that death. Either there is an afterlife or there isn't.
Uh-huh, okay.
If there is an afterlife, I'll go to the good place because I've lived within my nature. I've done all things good. I have been, you know, true to what the gods...
To myself
and what their gods have told them to be.
Yeah.
Or there's nothing. And it's just pitch blackness. And he described it like a dreamless sleep. So once he had that idea, I was like, there's two possible things, nothing else. So either way, that darkness, I have nothing to worry about. So what? It's there.
Yeah.
I should be willing. It should be nothing to me. I mean, so yeah, Western philosophy, I feel like it had a good connection with, like, you know, accepting the darkness and embracing the light part of life. But, you know, one thing that I've noticed among almost all major religions.
Uh-huh.
It's really weird. So, recently, I've been trying to go through, like, as many religious books as I can.
Okay.
And I want to get, like, their essential, their teachings, and how they want people to live life. Just like how I've been doing the same thing with philosophy.
Have you read The Poetic Edda?
Who?
Poetic Edda or the Habermal?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you have to. Oh,
well, there's what I've noticed though with all the ones that I have read.
Yeah.
It's basically them trying to give you the answer to life. They give you the answer saying the way to enter heaven, because I took everything from the ground level basically. I decided to reestablish everything based on just reason. Right, so starting from the bottom, the energy in the universe, right? The sun, what makes me move, my soul, everything that is energy. That is an overlying force that doesn't control, but doesn't, you know, just let go free. It's pure energy. That can be seen as what the universe, God, because God is a title. It's not a name.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
It's a title. It's a position. It is a position. And not only being everything in the universe and having created it, but it itself is quite literally God, everything around us. So when you want to talk about morality, you have to naturally, and also I see, like, you know, the gods that the ancient Egyptians worshipped, the gods that modern Muslims worship, and everybody, they all worship the same God. It's that same giant presence in the universe. The only difference between them are their stories on how it was brought to them. Because it's now, recently, it's been personified. You know, good God, bad God. There's no such thing as moralities with it because it doesn't have a basic nature. So what I say is the basic nature, whenever you're looking at moralities itself, it should be included in your nature.
Hey, Dad.
Hello.
We want to pee at your apartment, so we're going to take your... Are you going as well?
Yeah, I'm going.
Oh, let's go. We're leaving. We'll get a location at some point.
Okay. But, So that basic energy that you have in the universe, that is God. That is the overlying power, right? So it doesn't matter who you call it. It's Ra, it's Zeus, it's my God. It's all of them. It's the same overlying power. So the way that I'm trying to figure it out. So it's not completely done. If you have anything that's like, whoa, Zach, you're wrong, we're going this way. If you have anything that's like, whoa, Zach, you're wrong, please tell me about it. But with that overlying power, then you need to look at morality. Need to look at morality, and you need to look at things that are.
Yes. Te lo paso. Ven. Ah, chingada madre.
So, it's really interesting. So our goal, based on the stories, is to get into heaven. But if you look at the same kind of idea of like Nirvana for the Buddhists, their enlightenment is their heaven. I feel that's being too much of a personified force that's in a location. I don't think it's a location. I think it's a state of mind.
Okay, that time I agree with that.
So heaven is quite literally on earth. It's anywhere that you are, where you are living within your nature, living to who you are and what you want to be, because you're entirely unique. That's the way the universe made you. It's quite literally unique in every single way. Even the energy inside of you is not this. It's not the exact same energy as everyone around you. It's yours. And so, yeah, that's where I'm mostly building up from. So I'm believing, I'm starting to figure that we gotta cross the street.
Okay. I just want to say, this restaurant, the service is absolutely dog water.
Oh, it's terrible, but the food smells amazing.
Yeah, but I don't fuck with bad service, though. Even, like, it was decent food. It was, like, really good 15-minute meal, but it was a shitty 1.5-hour meal, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But,
spicy, like, cheese.
Yeah, so whenever you want to look at morality, though.
Three chili peppers, whatever. It'll be fine. I died.
Whenever we wanted to take a look at morality,
you need to also look at
what
naturally comes with you, because that's the universe speaking to you. That is God literally speaking to you in how you feel. So if you do something and you feel bad about that thing, naturally, it is within your nature and it is within the way that God made you. So you have no. You know, for acts of good and bad, basically. But one thing that you can poke a hole in that theory with is
what's
a bad acts that you enjoy.
Philosophy now. We're talking about philosophy now. We're talking what is God.
So it's like what bad things that you enjoy. That's a problem that I'm having with this theory. Is like, what about people who enjoy, like, I don't know, rape or something like that? Because they enjoy it, but it's already established to be like, oh my God, that's a horrible thing. So naturally, if you have those two states, then it is at the same time within your nature, but also bad. So that's a good hole in my theory. But yeah, no, if you want to look at morality, like, you know, the answer to should you kill someone kind of basic questions, naturally it would flow towards what naturally comes to you.
Personally, I think about morality just like a game rule set, you know?
Yeah.
Society, after all, is just a big game. Because let's be honest, humans, animals don't live in a society and they rape and kill each other all the time.
Do you mind picking those up for me real quick?
Oh, yeah, no problem. Ah.
Okay. So, yeah, what were you saying about that?
That I think that the problem is that we cannot consider... I think morality is more than anything a social construct, because humans are... We are the only animal that actually lives in a society, in a true society, because animals usually don't live in groups bigger than 20 people... Than 20... 20 apiece, exactly. Eh? What?
Bees, ants.
Well, yeah, but those are... Okay, insects might have bigger, like, complexities society-wise. But, for example, wolves and all that, they rape and kill each other all the fucking time.
Yeah. But, like, clicks, because we tend to find our smaller groups.
That's true.
That is true.
That's true. That's true. But we still live in countries. And that's where the law comes from.
So, hang on a sec. So you're saying the law, morality, comes from the countries, right? Mm. Where are you saying the morality comes from?
I think that even with little cliques, you already have to have like a rule set.
Yeah.
But the bigger the clique, the more specific the rule set has to be.
You okay?
Because you need to take into consideration, like, yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but these people who just would fuck up, would just start doing chaotic and shitty things just for shits and giggles, just because they can.
Okay.
Even if they know that it's wrong, if you don't specify their rule set, there's people who will just do shitty shit just for doing it. Just for doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
People do that anyway, though.
Yeah, exactly. But the bigger the clique, the more people there is there.
So
because if there's only 5 people and one of them enjoys raping or killing, it's easier to find it and it will be more frowned upon. But if you have a group of 2,100 people, like it is a country, it's harder to single him out and for it to be dealt with. Then when it's only 5 people, and I think that's when rules and laws start with. And I think, like, I'm not sure, but I have this gut feeling that tells me that ants and bees have like one collective mindset.
All of them are just the ones in the same hive.
The ones in the same hive.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. Their stuff. It's like it's a hardwired thing, and they react to the chemicals around each other.
That's why I think they work differently. But for example, chickens and roosters, they rape each other all the time. Penguins,
so
all these animals.
The thing is, are you saying that's bad?
I think rape is bad.
No, like, okay, yeah. I was saying like chickens and stuff raping each other.
I think the problem is that they don't have a morality system to consider it bad or wrong. But the chicken is still suffering. They still have enough consciousness to know and to suffer.
So are we talking about what actually is or what should be? Because if we're talking about
Talking about the line in between, I think.
The line in between. Okay, yeah. So if we're talking about like what actually is, yeah, then of course you'd be right. That more like bad things would
podcast
happen.
Podcast mom coming through.
Oh, I'm okay, thank you.
Are those butt brownies?
No, they're regular brownies.
Okay.
You're welcome. They're pretty good. They're a little dry now because they were out, but...
If you're talking about how things actually are, then yeah, like, obviously, it's terrible. But if you're also talking about how things should be, you know, it's the duty of a person to, like, see the greatest thing that they're capable of. I mean, I think you would agree. I mean, you want to see the greatest capabilities of your body and your mind whenever it comes to fighting. You want to see how good you really are. You want to be at your best. So it's naturally everyone's duty to find the best, not just physically, but mentally as well. So if we were to all mentally... try to find our best. This is where we start shifting. We blur it from what is to what should be. If people also found it important, vital, that they were to become the best version of themselves, then they would study. They would learn. They would study philosophy and things like this. They would try and find the best way to improve themselves. And so then, tell me, if you have a society that has studied their whole lives, had constantly studied, one that is very, very well educated in sciences, maths, in literature, history, philosophy, if you find one that's very educated in that, do you think that there would still be so much crime?
Personally, I don't think so. But I think every society has their problems. Because, for example, most times, like, serial killers and that kind of people actually have, like, a higher IQ.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
I don't think that the being smart, smarter than the average people, is what make them evil.
Not smarter, but using what intelligence exactly you have to make your best.
I think there's people who are just rotten from the inside since they are born.
Really? Do you think that's like hardwired in them, like genetics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I personally think that's something real, because let's be honest, how many diseases aren't like hardwired?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Mental diseases, like, it
those are pretty hardwired. Yeah, you're right.
Like, even like basic stuff like autism or and ADHD, it's already hardwired in your system.
Yeah.
So, even or something as stupid as being colorblind, because they have the same nervous endings that than people who are not colorblind. They are just turned off.
Yeah. So I have another question for you. Uh-huh. Since we're talking about the body.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the nature of the soul?
Mm. Okay.
Drift over to this topic. What do you think about that?
Personally, I do believe in the existence of the soul. The fact that they say the soul weighs like 45 grams or something like that, you've never heard that theory.
I've heard of that before, yeah.
I think that's stupid. I think the soul is a bridge between God or what's bigger than us. I call it God.
Yeah, it's the title, yeah. Not a name. Yeah, you can call it that.
It's a bridge between the universe, consciousness, our body, and our mind. I think that's like the soul. The whole concept of soul is like the major bridge, the principal bridge between the universe, I will call it God for this example, and our bodies, mm-hmm. and the mind. So I think that's like that is trip that gets them all together. So I think that's my concept of a soul.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great thing. It's the bridge. I completely agree with you. It is absolutely the bridge between the physical, right, towards that energy. I mean, what's the difference between me and a dead body is the fact that I'm alive. And with that means that my soul, for example, back just information, the word soul and consciousness for me are the same thing. Your soul is the same as your consciousness, because that's the difference between me and a dead body. You know, I have that energy inside me, right? That is like, you have no doubt energy inside you. You can't, yeah, prove it. I wouldn't be able to move my hand if I didn't. So I'm saying that energy itself, we're not thinking about like some like mystic kind of thing. We're talking about physical evident thing. I have a soul because I have this energy inside of me. But here's where I believe the nature of the soul is. Imagine like an old train,
uh-huh.
Okay? You know, the ones they used to have out in the east.
Coal.
Exactly, coal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So imagine you have a train. You have a conductor.
Yeah.
You have the train, and then, yes, you have the fire inside of the furnace.
The soul is fire.
Exactly. Okay, the perfect soul, I say, is the fire. It's the consciousness. It is what is different between a dead train and a living. You know, it's the soul, when we're looking at ourselves, is that fire, that energy inside of it, the machine that makes it go. Then I would say that you're split into three parts: the soul, the mind, and the body. Okay, technically mind and body are pretty much the same thing.
That's
but
true.
But one controls the other.
One is a perception of the other one.
Exactly. So what I would say is the mind is the conductor. The mind is the engineer, whoever you want to say, the person in charge of the train that says where it goes, how fast it goes, it measures it, it's responsible for it. The conductor is our mind. It makes the decisions, but our soul is still the energy. Without the soul powering the conductor's abilities, then we would move. We'd be dead. So, you know, this isn't exclusive though. So you can have a body that we would call unconscious. It just means that we can't talk to them, but they're still breathing. They're still alive. That's conscious. It's not one that we can interact with that can respond. So it's just saying that the conductor is not there, but the energy and the body, like the fire and the train, are there. So yeah, that's pretty much my take on the nature of the soul, to where it is it's the energy inside of the fire. And obviously, naturally, the train would be your body. It's controlled by the conductor, which uses the fire, that energy that moves you.
Okay. I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
We basically have different takes on the same concept.
Exactly,
but I think,
yeah, I completely agree with you, 100%. Yeah. It's that connection that we have to that energy.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all the same. That's one thing I still don't get about a lot of religions is so many wars were fought and so many people died and lost their souls.
Yeah.
All because of different stories growing
up. Yeah, of course.
But between most major religions, like we established before, we wanted to go to a heaven, right?
Uh-huh.
And you've also agreed with that the heaven is not just like, you know, it might be a place, but the way that's consistent with both Eastern and Western religions is that heaven is a mindset.
It's not like a physical place that you can find in Google Maps. But like a...
It's a mindset.
Exactly.
It's happiness.
Or a plane of existence.
Yeah, okay. With an idea, yeah.
Yeah.
So... Oh man, I forgot what I was talking about.
Like, what I mean with plane of existence is like, have you ever worked on Photoshop?
Yeah, of course.
Like the layers.
Okay, yeah.
Like you can turn off a layer or turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think when you are outside, like you could see all the different layers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're working only one, you see how you turn off most of the other layers, so you cannot get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the perception we have.
Okay.
Like, I think there's people who can see more layers of the universe.
That's interesting. Yeah, what do you think about that? Tell me more about that.
I think there's people gifted with that. Like, I think you have met people who you think, like, okay, this guy can see things that I cannot understand.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
By the way that they can either connect with the universe, like, religiously. Like people who are just that good at understanding religion.
Okay.
People who can meditate like for 5 years without eating. Oh, like we have read that kind of things.
Oh, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Oh, man. I can definitely agree. I think I've definitely met people that are like that. For sure. Yeah. Oh, hang on. I'm going to go get something to drink.
Okay.
So what else can you tell me about like Eastern religions, like Buddhism and stuff, like Taoism as well? Like, can you talk to you about that?
I think the philosophy is like whenever you see like all the layers in Photoshop.
Okay.
Like that's the dumbed down way of doing it.
Have you heard of that one thing that was it Zeno? There's someone who they would the different steps of perception. Have you heard of that? Where it's like an open hand, and then like this is like seeing. This is knowing, or this is understanding, this is comprehending, and this is knowing.
Uh-huh.
So it goes like the different four steps of like entrapping the information. Okay, yeah, so I would see it somewhat similar to that.
Like, I think that the universe, or the more layers we see, is that is when we realize that we understand less and less and less.
Oh yeah, that's what Socrates had.
Yeah, I only know that I don't know anything. I don't know nothing.
All I know is I know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it on Spanish. I don't know it in English.
I know, it's okay.
But yeah, I think that the more like the nirvana and like enlightenment is like just seeing how little we know.
Uh-huh.
Is like actually because the idea of saying like I know that I know shit,
mm-hmm.
is really easy to say it, but it's really hard to believe that.
I believe it. Yeah, that's yeah.
And I think that enlightenment, contrary to popular belief, instead of knowing everything, is realizing you don't know shit about anything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what are some of the things that Buddha said to achieve that goal?
Like, I personally, I'm not that well versed with religious texts.
Yeah.
But I'm good at talking with. Thankfully, I grew up knowing Buddhist people, Muslim, not many, but. Different kinds of pagans, and I was supposed to be raised Christian,
mm-hmm.
kind of Catholic, but but
that's what I was raised. I was raised Catholic.
But yeah, I think that you can see that on the way he carried himself and the way that he was, instead of saying that he was the personification of God, which he kind of is in the Buddhist texts,
mm-hmm.
he was just carrying himself around as part of the universe, and I think that
exactly.
And that's what's right. Like, we are just, Neil deGrasse Tyson said it perfectly, in the Hot Ones actually, but he said it: we are just as much as part of the universe as the universe is part of ourselves.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
But one thing is just knowing it, but another thing is actually comprehending it, or maybe not comprehending it, and that's when you actually get enlightened. Because I think that enlightenment is just realizing that you know anything, like fully understanding that, because we can all say that, but I think it's almost impossible to actually understand it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I haven't really found that many differences whenever it comes to like ethics and reaching that state of enlightenment, heaven, whatever you want to call it. I haven't really found that many differences amongst many different religions. Like, for example, right? If you want to be a naturally happy person, right? You want to make sure that you you have good, not bad vices, like good vices. I forgot what that is.
Good
virtues.
Habits.
You want virtues. Some things that make you a better person, and then you want to avoid things that make you a worse person. And that same idea, right? So that can be applied to just human existence. It can be applied to Taoism. It can be applied to Christianity. It can be applied to Judaism. It can be applied to Buddhism. Like, and it's everything. It can be applied to that. So one thing that's really interesting, though, is they are all trying to give you the answer. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mental health has already been solved. And I wouldn't say solved, but like the maintaining of a good mental health and building mental health has been solved for thousands of years. The trick, it's been solved for thousands of years. And it is the seven heavenly virtues and the seven deadly sins, or any other variant of that throughout all other religions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same variants, because the only reason that people would ever...
The Ten Commandments.
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah, yeah. They're not just ways to get into this like terrain of heaven. No, it's ways to maintain and grow mentally and be mentally healthy and happy and be mentally strong as well. It's a fantastic thing. It's all looped together. It's,
okay.
It's genuinely good for you. You can't look at religion for the followers. It's the worst thing you can possibly
do. No, you cannot do that shit. Cannot do that shit.
Exactly. The whole point of it, if you look at it through the followers and you listen to someone explain it to you,
oh, no.
Then you're going through their filter and their experience, their bias, their prejudices. What you need is to go through the experience of religion, any religion, through your own mental state and through everything and how it can be applied to you. That's what I did. I heard one time that one person called Moses the best philosopher. And I was like, oh my God, I never even made that connection. He was a philosopher. So I didn't look at it from like, am I going to hell point of view whenever I read the Bible again. I looked at it, what kind of wisdom can I gain from this? What stories? Like, probably many of the stories that happened in almost all religious books didn't actually happen. But there are ways to teach the masses. I mean, that was the point of the Torah, right?
Yeah.
Most of the stories in the Torah probably didn't even happen. But it was meant as a way to explain to the masses how to live good and how to be happy in life. And it was put down in like dumbed down ways for an important religious text, but simplified ways of like different like Psalms in King Solomon's book or Psalms. They're just all simple stories. Most of them probably didn't even happen. But the lessons that we got from those stories are extremely important. The teachings we got from King Solomon. And the teachings that we got from Jesus, from Buddha, from everything. It's all about being a better person. And so, I don't know. I really can't see that much of a difference between most religions. It's hard. Whether you're atheistic or you're a theist, you're still trying to achieve the same goal of being happy and being a good person.
Yes.
I wouldn't say good person, because there are people that don't want to be good people, but being happy and finding your way to getting there. So... Oh shit. But yeah, I really can't see that much of a difference between most of them, other than the stories that the people used to raise the masses on. That's my interpretation of it. But I still say that the consistent part is that they all acknowledge that there is an energy.
Okay.
What separates me from my window, from a rock, from anything, is that specific energy. And they took that idea of the energy and the trees growing and everything around it, and they just applied it to everything. And that's now what we have today. We understand that energy around us so much more. So, I mean, wasn't it also Nikola Tesla who said, if you want to understand the world, think in terms of vibration, energy, and light? And what was the other one? Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think because it's sound, vibration, light.
Sounds, vibration, light, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But it's something like that. And yeah, that was his understanding of the world.
So, yeah.
I mean, he was known as the best inventor of all time.
I would still back up Leonardo da Vinci personally.
Oh my god, da Vinci was amazing.
Yeah. I
can agree. Da Vinci for his time was just
yeah, exactly. He's the GOAT. Amazing. He's the GOAT. Fucking GOAT. He's the fucking Michael Jordan of inventions.
Oh yeah, no, of course. But the only difference between the two would be that Leonardo da Vinci didn't have electricity, sadly. But
now imagine sure, he did.
He did, dude. Imagine that. We would be hundreds of years in the future.
Exactly.
We need more people like Leonardo da Vinci. Have you? I told you I could talk a lot.
I enjoy that.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Have you heard that that one idea where they said, like, you know, Einstein, he was just some Jewish guy who left because of the war and he came to the United States as a professor and that's how he got famous. But what about all those other people? Okay, well, yeah, we can go.
Okay.
But, like, what about all those other... If you want to stay here a little bit longer or you want to go join them or what?
Personally, I don't have money, so I don't think I'm going to join them.
I guess they hear a little bit longer than join later.
Gotcha.
But, what was I saying?
Albert Einstein just being a random Jewish guy.
He was just a random Jewish guy who was given the opportunity to be in, like, academics, and he used that intellect, that IQ, to really do amazing things. Now imagine all the other Einsteins in the world that are just, they weren't born with, or they weren't given the opportunity to, you know, succeed in life like him.
Yeah.
What about all the other Einsteins who were kept on a farm their whole lives? They lived in a small village in Italy, and that's all they knew. They were the smartest person in their village, and that's all they knew. When little did we know, if we gave them the opportunity and the technology and the information and the wisdom, that they could become another Einstein. I mean, it would be fantastic for them to be able to actually be able to address that.
Personally, the beef I have with Einstein is not with him as a person, but with the concept of him, is that I think, and let's be honest, it was like, he did a lot of stuff. He was a very brilliant mind, but most of his stuff was merely theoretical. Okay.
Was it what?
Theory.
Oh,
like, yeah.
Of course.
Like he didn't. Yeah. Like he. I don't know if he actually invented something physical or developed any physical projects.
He looked at a patent, but that was it.
That's like I personally think that we have put Einstein in this pedestal.
Yeah.
Because it was also a good way to fight the Nazi propaganda because it was at the same fucking time.
Okay.
So it was like a way of showing like, hey, this motherfucker with the evil mustache, this evil motherfucker with the ugly mustache.
He was Jewish too. Yeah, yeah. So it was to fight against the, okay.
Yeah, like that's a way to fight against the Nazi propaganda. Like saying like, Hitler is completely wrong. Look at this this ugly Jewish guy who's very smart.
Mm-hmm. Look at all the things that he can, okay, yeah.
Because he didn't invent anything physical.
No.
But he developed a lot of theory.
Honestly, I'm still kind of... I call bullshit on some of his theories, too.
Exactly. So maybe a lot of it... Maybe most of the idea we... Because most of the idea we have, I think, might be like anti-Nazi propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one thing. So, you know his theory of relativity, right?
Yeah.
He says the faster you're going, the slower time will be.
Exactly.
I say bullshit. I say bullshit in any fucking language I could.
Bro. Okay, why?
Dude, that is the most... His reasoning behind it, just... I can't follow along with it. So he says, imagine you're looking at a clock.
Uh-huh.
Right? So we can agree that light takes time to travel. It's a very small amount of time, but it takes time to travel. So if I were to move away from the clock, it would take longer for that light to hit my eye. Come in slower in my vision. So as I moved away from the clock, it would appear as if the clock was slowing down. So I can say, whoa, the faster that I move, the slower everything is going. So by that statement, yeah. But you're not realizing the clock is still moving at the same time, the same everything.
Okay.
It's moving exactly the same as if you were right next to it, flying 30 million miles past it. It's moving the exact same way. So
okay.
Time itself is not changing. Not even your perception of time is changing. What's changing is just the physical aspect. Because the second that you stop moving, time is going to catch up. Mm-hmm. And time is still happening. Even though it takes a while to hit you, it doesn't mean that it's not happening at that time.
I have actual evidence that it kind of, he kind of was right with that.
Tell me about that. I haven't found any yet.
Because it's not going to be as literal as it is. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, we all heard this common phrase, especially like I worked as a personal trainer for years. So I think everybody has heard the motion is lotion, like moving makes your body healthy.
Yeah, of course.
We all met those 45 year old guys who look like shit, whose knees are bullshit. And we have also met those 75 year old guys who can longboard better than you. Because of the discipline and the movement.
But I wouldn't attract that to the specific movement.
By your logic,
I could just sit in a chair and I can move around. Like, what about truckers, for example?
I don't know.
They're moving more than anybody else in their life.
Their bodies aren't moving.
Their bodies are absolutely moving inside. It's about the physical using of the muscles and veins that keep it strong and smart.
I think that might be different because moving yourself, because it's the same as people who try to do, instead of doing exercise, they use these like electric wave thingies.
I've seen those, yeah.
Like, let's be honest, I've met people who have used those for
Neymar, he does that too.
Yeah, but he does it for recovery. Like, one thing is doing it for recovery, another thing is doing it to build muscle. Yeah. I've met people who do that to build muscle. Obviously you won't build muscle.
No, not much, no.
So it's different for you to move yourself than for something else to move yourself.
Well, yeah, of course, but I wouldn't say the movement itself, what Einstein was saying, where you look at.
I would say
the activity, you pumping blood and you staying healthy, that is good for you. But physically moving, it's good for you, but not for the same reason.
But they don't age at the same rate.
They absolutely age at the same rate, but they don't the same rate. Time still passes through them the exact same way. The only difference is that one stayed healthy and maintained his abilities. Because, you know, move it or lose it, you know?
Yeah,
you
have move to, it or lose it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So they kept it moving, right? It's the movement itself, like how Einstein explains it, is not the reason why they look so young. It's they're you know, keeping a good engine. Same thing with like a car, a rusty car. You know, if you maintain your car, you keep it nice and shiny, you keep it running, take it out every couple of like weeks, make sure that it's perfectly fine, okay, then it'll stay good. But if you let a car sit there, it does jack shit. So it's not about the moving itself, it's about the engine running.
Okay, maybe it's the same but not on a real on a literal manner.
What do you mean?
Like maybe we do say the same thing. Maybe I'm just personally, maybe I'm just not taking what Einstein said as a literal thing. But we all know that people who don't move shit,
yeah, of course,
age faster.
They look a lot older. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they age faster because we all age at the same rate. Age is based on time. Like physically.
Well, their bodies decay faster.
Yeah, because they're not using them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not about motion though. That has nothing to do with Einstein's theory. That's about their using of that engine.
I see the movement as the usage of the engine.
Yeah, the movement is a result of movement.
Exactly, exactly.
But movement alone isn't the thing. You're saying, like, if A is B, then if B, then A. That's not a logical thing.
Okay, okay.
That doesn't follow logically.
Okay.
It's like a reverse thing. But, yeah, no, I mean, I do agree, though, that the less that you do, we can start moving. The less that you do, like, you know, workout and stuff like that, then the worse that you look. Because you have to maintain that, you know? That energy has to keep running through you. There we are. Yeah, I would just walk to them now if you want.
Huh?
You can just walk to them now if you want.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop the podcast. Do you want to say anything else before...
No, I had a good time. It was fun talking to you. You know a lot about philosophy and a lot of the topics I like to talk about. So you're a pretty knowledgeable person, and yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Thank you very much. I hope we actually record another podcast, but now sitting still without moving.